All right. It's the final hour of the Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590, the Fan. Baby Friday. Maple Leafs game 5 tonight. Justin and I in the building. Going to feel the rumble of Bay Street below our feet. Maple Leafs hopefully get on the board first.
Could you? A little poetry.
Oh, yeah?
8 a.m.
Poet and I didn't even know it.
Stop while you're ahead.
Fired up this morning because we got a really great guest joining us. The Insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. It's Bruce Boudreau, former NHL head coach, Jack Adams Award winner, and currently an NHL Network analyst. Bruce, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure for us, for sure, because we love chatting with you, get to catch up with you every couple months, and we love watching you on TV now, a big, deep, big celebrity on the screen. Oh.
Always a celebrity.
Yeah. I try to get them to blank out my picture when they're talking to me, just so we can keep the ratings good. Let them look at Jackie.
Well, I wanted to ask you about superstition because we've asked our listeners to send in some texts about how they're going to view tonight's game because it is an opportunity for the Maple Leafs to win 4 in a row. The vibes have been pretty great, but, you know, Leaf fans have had a tortured past. Is there something that they're doing tonight to make sure the vibes continue? And I wonder, as a coach, if you ever had any game day superstitions or anything that you had to do when the team was doing well or you needed to reverse the vibe of the team. Was there anything that you did that was a little superstitious?
Oh, I pretty well did everything. if we were winning or things were going good, it would wear the same suit. Or not, at least the same tie, and always took the same road in, always had the same meal, always would have, as you go to sleep for your afternoon nap the same time, listen to the same music before you went to the rink, and if you were losing, it was totally the opposite, different way to the rink, different meal, different suit, different everything, and try to get all those bad vibes out of the way. So, I mean, I don't know if all hockey players are as super, all other, not necessarily hockey players, all their other athletes are so superstitious, but I know I was very. So, and who knows? If it made my mind feel better by doing it, I did it. I know it makes no sense, but that's what we do.
What about changing a winning lineup, Bruce? I mean, that's something that that's a consideration Sheldon Keefe had to deal with over the last few days because Michael Bunting, of course, came off suspension. And I don't know if it's a superstitious thing. I don't know if it's a, hey, we don't trust Michael Bunting right now thing. I don't know if it's a matchups thing. I don't know what went into the decision. But if it's superstition, I mean, maybe he subscribes to the you do not change a winning lineup. Did you ever change a winning lineup being a superstitious guy yourself?
And it all depends on who really is hurt. I got to believe if Austin Matthews was the one that missed three games and he was ready to play, they're playing him no matter whether they won all the games or not. Michael Bunting is just in that tier below, and the team has done pretty well. Maybe they've realized that they need a different player like Matthew Nyes rather than Bunting. They're scoring goals. So, I mean, goals isn't the answer. So, I mean, isn't the need. But maybe defending and not taking penalties is something that they need. I have no idea. But, I mean, what they're thinking. But as far as changing winning lineups, I think every game is reassessed and you go with what you think is the best lineup. Now, usually, the game before, if you won, that's usually what comes in your mind as the best lineup, and you don't want to change it. So it's a difficult decision because Bunting's been there all year and has been a real good player for them. But at the same time, they've won the last three with Matthew in since Bunting went out. So, I mean, they've got a little bit of room to give, even though I know in Toronto they don't want to give any room at all because bad things seem to happen when they lighten up a little bit. But I would probably go with the same lineup tonight. And if they lose, then in Tampa, I would put Bunting back in.
As a head coach, how difficult would that conversation have been with a guy that doesn't have a suspension history, but made a mistake early on in the series and had to pay for it with three games up in the press box? And he's a guy that is a local kid that has really won the hearts over of a lot of Leafs over his short career here. How hard would it have been to have to sit down and say, you know what, I know you've been up there for a while, but now you're going to have to sit at least one more game and hopefully we win it and get you in the series for round two?
Well, first of all, I would hope it's a tough decision. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then, you know, it's a tough conversation. Especially if you care about players and you care about your team, and as you like the guys, they're tough. But you know, you got to sit back as the coach, as the decision maker, and say, I got to do what I think in my mind is the right thing, not what everybody else does, what everybody else thinks. So, I mean, that's a tough conversation. I've had to have them with many players that I didn't want to have them, and you walk back and forth, and you think about them all day, and then you end up having them. But on the other hand, I would think if I was the player that they're talking to, I'd understand I want to play, and I'd probably be mad because I want to play and I want to be part of this, and I've been part of it for a long time now. But in the end, when he's sitting by himself, he'd say, okay, I can see his point. And now I'll practice really hard and I'll be ready to play because there's a chance that I'm going to get into a game soon, whether they win the series tonight or whether they lose and they have to play again in Tampa, that he knows he's going to get back in at some point and he'll get a chance to prove himself.
It's often framed as like a good problem when you have too many forwards. You have 13 real options, but in this case, it kind of feels like a coach's nightmare, like needless stress that you didn't want to have to deal with because you had to make that decision. And it wasn't a decision between Bunting and Knies, but Knies did take his spot, and he's obviously earned his opportunity to continue playing. But when you're a coach, and clearly someone isn't up on systems, hasn't like felt what it feels like to be a Maple Leaf or an NHL player for a prolonged period of time, how does a coach help balance the obvious talent and the greenness of a young player, and especially as you evaluate Matthew Knies?
Well, I think he's watched him play for three games, and I think everybody would admit he's gotten a little bit better every game, and he's feeling more comfortable all the time. It's not like he hasn't been playing. He just finished playing last week, That's how you do it. I mean, it's tough because you want to be loyal to your players and you care about the players that have been there. But at the same time, I think this big matzo ball that's hanging over the Leafs' head, they want to get rid of that too. So, I mean, they want to do whatever they can to win the series. And it's tough decisions, but the coach has to make them.
The addition of Ryan O'Reilly has certainly invigorated this team, his leadership ability, and obviously his on-ice presence and the way he's just been able to, it feels like, just be the glue guy when times are tough. How does adding a player of that caliber, a proven winner, Conn Smythe guy, and it seems like a beloved guy in general, make a coach's job easier when times get tough here in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, he looks like a very, to coaches, he was in St. Louis anyway, a very trustworthy player. So coaches love those kind of guys because they can play him at the wing. They can kill him in penalties, put him out on faceoffs, put him in defensive situations. And, I mean, automatically, you know you've got somebody that you can trust. And that's it seems to me that that's the case right now with Ryan is the coach has somebody he can trust and situation he wants, and that's great, and he's earned it. I mean, he's a tough player to play against. I can tell you that from firsthand knowledge. I mean, he's always churning and working and doing the right things, it seems. I mean, his year in St. Louis wasn't very good, but this was the first year in St. Louis that everybody's year wasn't very good. So, I mean, you can give the guy a break on that one, but he's a really good player, and you put him on the wing, he's going to excel. You put him at center, he's going to excel. And as a third line center, the Leafs have a total advantage on most teams when he's on the ice.
From a preparation standpoint, what's the challenge for a coach when your team is up 3-1 or 3-0 with a chance to send an opponent home? I know this isn't a normal 3-1 scenario. I think you put it, there's a matzo ball hanging over the Leafs' head right now and the organization's head. So it is different, but it's 3-1, and it's different than being up against the wall and facing elimination or 3-3 in a game 7. What is the challenge 3-1 for a coach and making sure that you're not being complacent, that you are treating it like a do or die scenario?
Well, first of all, if you have to worry about the Leafs being complacent, then you're in bigger trouble than you think right now. They know that they could very easily be down 3-1, and they don't want to give any momentum to Tampa. Plus, they've been watching all these other playoff games. Who would have thought that Florida goes in and beats Boston last night? Who would have thought Seattle is going into Colorado and beating Colorado? The road teams have had an exceptional run this year in the playoffs. All of these signs are there. If I was the Leafs, I'd be treating this like Game 7, and then the next game, if there is one, like Game 7. But you don't want the momentum the wrong way, because then you start thinking, oh, here we go again. So to me, tonight you put your foot on their throats and you want to exterminate them tonight. You don't want this thing going on any longer. You don't want the angst in your fans' minds going on any longer. You're doing whatever you can to treat this like this is the game. We're going to come out 100 miles an hour out of the gate. Put them in, hopefully we can make them quit.
Extermination. I like that. Put that on the wall of the dressing room. I think that works pretty good. Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, the Leafs understand or should understand that, hey, this could be 3-1 the other way. So I'll ask you about the Tampa side of things when it comes to how the series has gone and where they sit right now with the Leafs being up 3-1. Like, you know, and you understand that you dominated two games, but you lost those games. How does that affect the mental standpoint when you're the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Well, I mean, I think they know they can beat them. They've been the better team 3 times out of 4. And I think they just got to, you know, go out with that mindset. Like, I mean, I've been down 3-1 in series before, and you win, and you sort of just, whether it's home or on the road, you say, let's just win this one game. You know we're going to win back home. We're not going to lose 3 in a row back home. And then in game 7, we'll let everything fall where they may and go that way. So you try to make it as little a task as possible. Even though it's a big task, winning 3 in a row, you just try to eliminate the fact that it is a tough task and all we have to do is win tonight. If we win tonight, then we're going to be in the driver's seat because we'll win the next one. And then it's game 7. You know what happens in game 7.
We're speaking with Bruce Boudreau, former NHL head coach, Jack Adams Award winner, and current NHL Network analyst. Now, we've seen some really great moments of unsung heroes maybe coming up big. Obviously, Alex Kerfoot with the OT winner, and Morgan Riley's had a really great playoff performance. And even Matthew Knies, who's a college kid, has come in and really impressed Leafs Nation. So does it matter who gets those big moments in the playoffs? Like, is there an extra invigoration when you see a guy that's lower in the lineup get a big opportunity? Or is tonight all about, like, the core four really putting a staple on this game? Does it matter who gets the big moments when you look at the team chemistry and how much that could, you know, propel a team to the second round?
Nobody cares who gets the glory. I mean, if you're a good team, the team gets the glory no matter what happens. The core four usually play more and they've got a better opportunity to get it, but we've seen through history that's not the guys that usually end up winning the game for you. I mean, I can go right back to 50-some years or 60 years, and Bobby Bond was not a real mainstay of scoring for the Leafs when he beat Detroit in double overtime with a broken leg. Or you can go back to any time you've seen young guys come in and score that winning goal. Nobody cares. Nobody cares at all who scores it. If it's Austin Matthews or, you know, Justin Hall or Luke Shen, they're going to get the same reaction from the bench, jumping over the boards and crowding the player that scores, and everybody will be happy. Tonight is all about winning, and if you're a guy that thinks that it has to be you, or you have to get the ice time to win, and you're not happy when you win, then you've got the wrong guy in that wrong spot, and I don't think the Leafs have any of those guys.
Yeah, I think we just apply our own narratives to that, right? And I'm sure you've seen and witnessed that as a head coach. If Matthews doesn't score that goal, well, how would they come back without their leader? And if Kerfoot doesn't get, like, Kerfoot, it's more important, because what a well-liked guy in the room and someone who's been working hard all season, finally rewarded.
I guess it's, rally behind
it's
him.
Just better for our narratives than really anything else, because it's just about celebrating in the end. When you look at the series, four games so far, of course, three victories for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Has anything really surprised you when you look at how these games have been played?
Well, the biggest surprise for me is the lack of ability for Vasilevskiy to stop the shots. I mean, if you look at his save percentage and his goals against average, I mean, this is so unlike him. And either the Leafs are in his head, or there's something wrong with him, or he's just not seeing the puck as well. But, I mean, I think he's averaging 4.5 goals against. And, I mean, his save percentage is about .850, and you can't win games with that, especially in the playoffs. And I think that's the biggest surprise totally. I mean, and in past years, when the Tampa Bay got ahead, they knew how to lock it down and shut you down. And, I mean, who knows how much effect that comeback by the Leafs the other night has had on their mental prowess. It might have doomed them, or it might have made them stronger. But either way, it's a surprise, I think, to everybody that watches hockey that's.
Bruce, last one for you before we let you go. Let's say you're going into that locker room tonight. Maple Leafs have the opportunity to do something that, you know, the fan base has been waiting for a long time, and a lot of those players have been as well. What's your motivational tactic? Is it to tap the believe sign? Is it to get the team fired up with a little rah-rah-rah chant? Or do you leave that to the leadership group to ignite them from within, because they know what they need to do to perform? What's the head coach's role in that locker room before they step out on the ice?
Well, every head coach is different. There's no doubt. I mean, I would probably be a little more of on the emotional side. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's what I'm like. Mm-hmm. But every coach has got his own personality, is what he's got to use. But I mean, the message is going to be the same. Let's start on time. Let's start from the get-go. If you look at some of these teams, and I'll take Seattle as an example. You look at them in the first period, they're going just as hard in the third period as they are in the first period. But if you step on that gas, let's not run out of gas. Let's just keep going. Keep going. Play unselfishly. Do the things you have to do to win and pay the price. And, I mean, that's basically the message. But how you deliver the message at each coach is different.
Well, we'll record that. We'll pump it through the Scotiabank Arena speakers, and then they'll take what they can from your motivational speech. We appreciate you joining us this morning. It's been a pleasure. We're looking forward to hearing you for the rest of the playoffs, and hopefully we get a chance to talk down the road.
Sounds great. Look forward to it.
Thanks so much, Bruce. That's Bruce Boudreau, former NHL head coach and current NHL Network analyst, of course, and our insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
Big old matzo ball hanging over things.
I love that.
You ever had a matzo ball? I don't know what a matzo ball is.
I've had a matzo ball.
What is it?
Like a matzo ball soup.
What is it?
I would think that it's like
custardy?
No. It's a traditional, I believe, Jewish meal, like a soup dumpling type meal.
Like a dumpling.
Yeah, it's like a big ball, like a matzo ball. And I don't know what it's made out of, but it's going to be some sort of like starch that's like combined together. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening. They're like, how do you not know how to make a matzo ball? Well, I haven't personally made one.
I've never even seen a matzo ball.
It's like a traditional meal. Like, it's a big ball and a soup.
All right.
Just hanging over the Maple Leafs. It's a matzo ball. Here we go. What is a matzo ball? Just Googled it.
It's time to remove that matzo ball from the equation.
It's good. It's like yummy. I've had many of them. I'll make you one tonight.
We're talking about superstitions. Maybe to remove
soup.
Oh, there you go. The superstition.
Superstition.
Should be crushing a little matzo ball soup.
Let me read you a couple of the superstitions that folks have in the text line at 590-590. We're asking you how you're doing your part to will the Maple Leafs into winning tonight, four in a row. Is there some sort of vibe that you're continuing with? Here's Adam from Cordis. It's a very cute one. My daughter, Char, has a little Cujo jersey. When she puts it on, we win. I didn't get her to wear it in game one, and we lost. She wore it games 2, 3, and 4, and we've won. She also wore her little Bengals outfit 2 playoffs ago and took my Bengals to the Super Bowl. It didn't fit her this year. Charlotte has the juju. When she goes to sleep, I put the little jersey beside me on the couch. Adam from Cordis.
Okay, that sounds powerful. That sounds powerful.
Very sweet. Here's Brian, the supply teacher in Orangeville, headed to Shelburne to teach. My son has an interesting thing happen to him over the last 2 comeback wins. Every time he's left the room while the Leafs were down, the team has scored. So tonight I'm not putting out the snacks on the table in front of the TV like usual. I'm leaving everything in individual small bowls in the fridge so he has to get up and leave multiple times and leave the room to eat because he's 16-year-old and can't go without food for more than 10 minutes at a time.
I was going to say, pick up a barricade and bring it home with you, but if he's 16, I guess he could probably just step over that.
Dave in Stratford says, my Leaf superstition is to never, ever wear any Leaf gear at all on Leaf game days. Also, if the game is not aging well, I put the Leaf game on a different channel just to change up the juju. Tonight, they seal the deal. All smiles on tomorrow's show. Dave in Stratford.
Okay, Ontario to East. Easy.
Jill in PEI. So far, each time they've won, I've placed a bet on Tampa to win. I've been losing money, but for them to win.
It's the happiness hedge, Jill. And the happiness hedge is a glorious one right
tonight.
Now. Plus 1,100 last time I saw it. Like, Leafs in a win-win scenario. Not a win-win. Like, a win and we will survive. We'll just take our consolation prize scenario.
Tony, a diehard fan for 57 years. I have a replica 1967 cup ring. I wear it on my right hand when they play at home and my left hand when they play on the road.
Okay,
that's a good superstitious one.
Alrighty.
I love that one. Kaylin from Hamilton. Leafs have lost or have been losing every time I wear my Bieber flip side reverse jersey this series. But every time I take it off, they win. I'll burn my overpriced jersey if it means breaking through the drought.
Ooh.
Wow.
Just stick with the routine and then wait for the fire because there's more than just a first round, right?
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't be the lone objective.
But I think with the flip side jersey, maybe just flip the jersey. Maybe the other side is the lucky side.
Maybe. Maybe you're trying to still figure out how this is working, how the powers are affecting the jersey. The jersey is affecting the game.
There's something there. This is an interesting text, so stick with me. I work in landscaping. I'm in great shape. But the following accidental ritual is both embarrassing and now necessary. Covered in brick dust and cement coming home from game 2, I quickly started undressing from my work clothes as the game had started. The Leafs began to dominate. I then realized I was celebrating in my boxers. Game 3, we were losing, and I started to undress and go to bed. In my boxers, Ryan O'Reilly ties it, and we win in overtime. Game 4, down 4-1, the same thing. I begin to go to bed, give up. I'm up at 5 a.m., my boxers. It was the greatest comeback. Boxers for game 5, sorry, not sorry.
I like how we prefaced it, assuming it's a he, with, I'm in great shape. Like, this is not a bad visual is basically what he was trying
to put out there. In good shape. Yeah. Trust me. One last one. This is pretty dedicated.
Mm.
My name is Austin, not Matthews. I'm a Leaf fan in Boston for school. Flying home today for game 5, then
Ooh,
taking
that's
a
switching
five.
Up the vibe, bud.
Okay, but just okay. These the dedicated fan. I'm a Leaf fan in Boston flying home for game 5, then taking a 5 a.m. flight for a final exam tomorrow morning. Superstitious as I always come home and they win, so I have to risk missing my exam for Leafs win.
Okay, that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate.
School less important than a Leafs win, Austin.
Also,
trust me.
Plane ticket to just turn around and go back to the airport?
But he is dedicated fan. We'll take some more on the other side of the break. So send them in at 590-590. And if you have a wake and rake pick as well, we can do that. We're going to preview game 5. What does a win mean for us? But who does it mean the most for? We're going to do a little power ranking.
Mm.
Game 5 tonight, Leafs Lightning, 7 p.m. puck drop. Let's preview that on the other side of the break on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Everything you need to know about the Blue Jays, Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Woo! It's Baby Friday. We're headed out the door shortly to wait patiently to enter the building tonight. We're going to watch Maple Leafs Game 5. Justin and I press row, like a couple professionals up there.
What's your plan for the day? Talking about superstitions, not that it has to be all superstition, but you got some time to kill.
I just kept my day like relatively normal. Not going to do too much different. Probably hit the gym a couple times because the 10 loony dogs.
Oh, yeah. Did you, how was the rest of yesterday?
Great.
I think that was an underrated storyline. Everything's cool?
Everything's good.
No, I had nausea?
People tweet me the weirdest things like, I'm good, thanks.
Somebody, okay. Yeah, I should probably move on from digestive talk.
Like, nobody needs to know about my digestive.
It was pretty embarrassing, actually, reflecting on our matzo ball talk.
Yeah.
Like, listen, I'd never had it before. So I frankly am clearly ignorant to the matzo ball soup. But we asked ourselves, what's a matzo ball made of? And the answer, our text line points out, is matzah. Yeah,
the matzah. Response was, matzo ball soup is made out of ... matzah.
You morons. I made that last part up.
Yeah, they were very polite about it, but yes. We'll get you some of that, Justin. It's quite delicious.
Yeah, we'll have to try it.
Matzo ball hanging over the Maple Leafs head.
If they win this series, we're going to get some matzo balls.
We'll get some matzo balls. There you go.
There you go.
Okay.
In honor of Bruce Boudreau.
In honor of Bruce, there it is. So, Game 5 tonight, Leafs Lightning. A lot at stake. We don't even need to go through it. But a lot can be gained from a Maple Leaf win. And you have power ranked some of the people or organizations or areas of the city that might benefit the most from a Maple Leafs win. And
10
I'd like
deep.
To hear that.
List
10?
Of 10.
What, do you think we're hosting a show for 6 hours?
10 individuals with which it means the most to, if the Maple Leafs do in fact get this victory, even get it in game 6-7, still means a lot.
Are you going to go from top to bottom? Or
let's go top
suspense.
To bottom. The okay. Number one. Do you have a guess the number one person this means the most to?
Kyle Dubas.
No.
Chris Cuthbert.
No.
Justin Cuthbert.
No.
MLSE.
They're
Rogers.
That's not a person. That's an organization.
John Tavares.
It means the most to Sheldon Keefe. It means the most to Sheldon Keefe because, frankly, he's the only one who's not going to be working in the NHL next year if they lose, right? Like, that's 100% true. Sheldon Keefe cannot survive another first-round loss. I don't even know if Sheldon Keefe can survive a second-round loss, to be honest with you.
Sorry, just pause for a second. This win tonight, you just mean in general if they win the series, though, right? Like, if they lose tonight and they win on, just saying a win in general of winning the series.
One more win out of three. And again, I don't even think it matters whether it's game 5, game 6, game 7. This will all apply. It'll mean the same things to the same people. A win keeps Sheldon Keefe in the league. And I think if we're talking about consequences, I mean, I think that's the most profound one, right?
I had Kyle Dubas at the top for me.
Why is that?
I mean, he doesn't have a contract and he's put a lot on the line this season. And he's had some great showing so far with his trade deadline acquisitions, and one of his goaltenders that we kind of had the gamble on has come up big so far. But I mean, a playoff series win will mean a lot to Kyle Dubas's future.
I have Kyle Dubas's number 6, and he's the third executive or non-player on the list.
This is like a full-on
it's
NFL draft ranking that we're doing.
Yeah, it is a full power ranking.
Good for
you. Literally said power ranking.
Yeah,
he's number 6.
Perfect.
He's number 6 because Kyle Dubas will be a general manager in the NHL next year for sure.
Yeah, I get that.
It might even be better for him that he moves on because, I mean, if this team can't win, can any team ever win? Like, how is he going to repeat what he did? How is he going to do better than what he did this year? He invested a lot, first-round picks, all that stuff. Like, everything is into this season when it comes to the Maple Leafs for him, and he's proven himself on such a level, unlike Keefe. And Keefe still earns a paycheck, so that's an important little caveat there. But Dubas has proved himself as a capable general manager. He's going to have another job after this one. He's going to have another job after that one. Like, he is one of the...
You don't think Keefe would?
I think Keefe will get back in the league eventually, but it's not right away. There was no chance.
He's not the Nick Nurse pedigree.
I don't even know if Nick Nurse will.
I think Nick
Nurse
could take a job, no problem, this offseason.
Well, where?
Whoever, maybe the Milwaukee Bucks?
Maybe. Number 2 on my list is John Tavares. The most important result, or the result is most important to John Tavares in terms of all the players, because he's running out of time to have a major impact on this organization. Couple years left. He's only getting Like, there's no expectation that he's going to be better next year than he was this year. Like, he is, I don't know how sharp the decline is. It is a decline, albeit even only slightly, if you're a John Tavares apologist. But he's running out of time to make sure that major investment was not one made in vain. He's running out of time.
He's the same age as Erik Karlsson. Erik Karlsson turned it around.
He is, but are they the same player?
No, I'm kidding.
They're not, like, yeah, like, maybe they'd be fountain of youth. Maybe. But I think he's running out of time.
Yes.
And a lot of the pressure. If it's mounting on anyone, I think it's mounting on John Tavares.
I certainly have him up in my one or two players. Unfortunately, it's a cop out. I said core four, but I mean, Austin Matthews and his future with the Maple Leafs would be really great to see him get through one round, see him have a moment tonight to be the all-star, the best player on the ice. And we're going to talk about his contract a lot in the future. And we've heard rumors that a lot of this playoff success will determine maybe how he feels comfortably about being a Maple Leafs long-term. It's not my highest level of concern, but it would be really great see that.
So Greg said, Wyshynski said, Matthews is number one when I asked mm-hmm. him this. You bring up Matthews mm-hmm. as on par with Tavares. Matthews isn't even in my top 10. And Matthews isn't in my top 10 because there are no consequences, really. Like,
really?
Matthews is kind of above everything, right? Like, Matthews is going to get whatever he wants if he's going to sign on the dotted line for the Maple Leafs this summer. Do you not expect that? Mm-hmm. Like, do you think they're going to be like, oh, Austin, I mean, we haven't had any success
no,
in the playoffs,
I don't
right?
think so,
so
at
we,
all.
So we can't give you the $14 million you want. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. They're going to give him whatever he wants because he's Austin Matthews and he has way more opportunity.
But what if he doesn't want it in Toronto?
That's not what the question is. The question is, who does it mean the most for? And if he wants to leave, then clearly the win doesn't mm-hmm. matter at all. Because his reputation will be decided at a different location, at a different date, with a different team, whatever. He's still kind of above all this in terms of consequence.
And I see when you said who does this win mean the most for, I completely see that it doesn't. I'm trying to put it in context of like as a Leaf, but
okay.
And no, you're correct with that. It doesn't matter for him in terms of like money wise or his legacy because he's won a Hart Trophy last year and he's still one of the best players in the league. But I'm trying to be like, who does this mean the most for their Maple Leafs career?
Yeah, you're putting your feelings on,
yeah,
you're projecting
bit,
your feelings onto Matthews, which is fair, but yeah.
Same where why my reason was like Dubas, because I pictured him in a Leafs
he
role.
Wants to win as a Leaf.
Yes, that's
and
that's
hopefully
why those two
they do want to win as Leafs. Third on my list is Mitch Marner, because I think he wears the failures more than anyone else, right? We've talked about mm-hmm. him deleting social media. We talked about him having difficulty dealing with the media sometimes in terms of, what was that thing that Luke Fox said at the start of the season? Oh, here are all the piranhas. Piranhas?
I don't remember that. Wow.
You don't
a long
remember
time
that?
Ago.
I thought that was one of the best yeah. quotes we got from Luke when he mm-hmm. said he came into dressing room and called the media piranhas. I'm like, okay.
Spicy.
That's spicy, right? So it affects him. So I think if he was able to get that victory, all like the walls closing in type of thing that seems to be happening with Mitch Marner or has happened with Mitch Marner, I think he removes himself from that.
I have the fan base higher than most.
I said individuals.
Okay. Individual fan listening to the fan morning okay. show that likes the
fans
Leafs.
Are higher than Mitch Marner?
Yeah. I just think you've talked about this. The fans are hungry and deserving of something good from this Maple Leafs organization. It's been ripped from their grasp. People are so loyal. We have listeners that have been Leafs fans since they came out of the womb,
mm-hmm.
and they have suffered at the hands of this team for a very, very long time. So a win tonight or in the next two games will mean so much for the city of Toronto, every establishment in Toronto that's going to benefit greatly. 100%. Us as radio hosts would love to talk about the Maple Leafs for more than one playoff round. I just think there's so much external, other than the players and organization, that will benefit greatly. And maybe I'm just like, I want the best for people to be happy.
The fans trump everything. Mm-hmm. Like this, again, this list is the individuals within the organization, but it means more to the fans always as a collective, because you add up everyone mm-hmm. in your friend group, everyone at the bar, everyone.
It's like infinite.
In the city, it adds up to being way more than any mm-hmm. of these individuals. Next up, I have Brendan Shanahan. I think he's the only other one who could potentially not be in the league next year if they lose. but like he's already won Stanley Cups and has had brilliant executive career and has worked for the NHL and now the Maple Leafs and restored order. Like he's already immensely successful.
He's got the Shanna plan.
But the Shanna plan could basically die with this, right? Like, I don't know what's going to happen to Brendan Shanahan, but the Shanna plan could end up being final chapter, failure, done if they don't get past the Lightning. It's possible.
Especially because, think of the stakes. This isn't like a 2-2 series right now. This is a 3-1 series, palm of your hands. And if you were not even thinking about the way in which that this series would end, would be in dramatic fashion, too. Like you have it in your hands at home on game 5. And if you were to, I don't even want to say it, but if you were to lose this series, it's not.
It's an indictment.
It is going to be up there in the worst ever. So it gets even more dramatic. It gets even more drastic. Changes need to be even more explosive. So I think you're not wrong.
And that's kind of, that's kind of the thing, right? They've put themselves in a position to get through, but they've also set themselves up, if it goes poorly,
for a chaos,
to have the worst of the worst chapters.
So this certainly paints how big of this a win would mean for some of the executives and the higher ups, because I mean, things kind of are all on the table at that point.
My list so far, Sheldon, John Tavares, Mitch Marner, Brendan Shanahan. Number 5, William Nylander. We talked about consequences. I love William Nylander. I think he's a great player. I hope he's a Leaf for a very long time. But if there's change and someone says, hey, you actually have to make change, like you can't get rid of John Tavares.
He seems like he's the guy.
You can't. Austin Matthews, you're going to rush at the opportunity to keep him here. And then it comes down to two guys. And if there's going to be material change to this group, if someone's like, ownership says, you're hired, but you have to do something because we can't run out the same program, then unfortunately, does that not fall on William Nylander? So I actually think there are unfair, but consequences nonetheless.
And I think that's certainly something we've talked about for the last couple of years, right? And it doesn't feel fair because he has been a pretty consistent performer, and he isn't a guy that is a detriment to this Leafs roster. But as you said, there's a point where something has to give, and it could be him. And it would be unfortunate if it is him, but...
Kyle Dubas, number 6 for me. We talked about him. Number 7 is Ilya Samsonov. He's one of the only guys who's actually like playing for a contract. So monetary gain is on the table here for Ilya Samsonov, proving that he is a number one starter in the NHL, that he can win playoff games, knocking over water bottles. I think he has a lot to gain. If they win this series, he might be the goaltender of record in the future for the Maple Leafs, or he goes to free agency if there's a decision made and makes a lot of money. I think if he outduels Andrei Vasilevsky, he puts that at the top of his resume, and all of a sudden he's making himself some serious buck.
Do you have Ryan O'Reilly on your list?
He's coming.
Hurry up and get to him.
Number 8's Michael Bunting.
I
don't know how it's going to play out with him in terms of getting in the lineup, but if they do win and he can just start fresh, He still has a lot to gain from a financial standpoint, and reputation's kind of on the line as well. Number 9 is Morgan Riley. He's been a part of this group for so long. I feel like he's a little less, like he's already done the thing where he's taken less. He's already done the thing where he elevates at the right times. So he's kind of a little bit separate from a lot of the criticism, but he's still a
great playoff run so far.
But he's still the longest serving Maple Leaf and has not won anything.
Yesterday I was at the dog park and I was speaking with Morgan Riley's father.
Really? Any insight?
I didn't acknowledge that it was his father. I thought we just had a really nice conversation. And
how'd you find out?
Because he was wearing a Leafs dad's trip hat and a shirt that said Riley.
Hold on. You're in sports media, you host a radio show in Toronto.
I was being very respectful.
Leafs dad hat is being worn, and you weren't like,
nope.
Who's your son?
How it happened. I was walking my dog, Bunker, and he ran up to this gentleman with a dog, and I was like, oh, wow, your dog's so cute. And I looked at him.
It's probably Morgan's dog, too.
It was. And I looked it up afterwards. And he's wearing a, like, dad's trip hat. And I looked him in the eyes, and I'm like, oh, that's Morgan Riley's dad, because he had a little shirt on that said Riley. And then he was wearing a Leafs backpack. So I was like, okay, this man is the father of the team. And so he's
not exactly hiding. He kind of, well, yeah, I don't think you would have hated
King Street at the Stanley Park. Like, it was a pretty popular park. And he goes, good for you. You're wearing your Leafs hat. And I was like, yeah, you know, big win for the guys and feeling good about tomorrow. Like, we just had a regular conversation, like we were two fans. And I just let it be. And I was like, hey, girl. You know, I should have said, well, you come on the show. Sorry, Danielle. But I just was like, you know what? Like, I just wanted to have a vibes talk. And
could have been like, Morgan's been playing great.
Okay. I didn't want to be like, oh, my God. How about the Morgan Riley storyline? I just thought it was nice to have a normal conversation with the guy. Yeah, but then he would have been like, oh.
No, the guy's wearing a dad hat,
Justin,
44
I just thought
on the
it
chest.
Was, I thought it was nice to treat him just like any other guy in the park. Like, we just had a good conversation about 5 minutes, talked about our dogs, like, I was like, oh, your dog's so cute, blah, blah, blah. Like, we just had a regular human conversation, and he went about his way, and I thought, that's
Aren't
good.
Aren't you thoughtful?
It's very nice vibes. Like, I didn't be like, so would Morgan Riley change in the offseason, or, you know, how's Tessa?
It's not that. It's shout out Morgan Riley, playing well. Okay, number 10 is Ryan O'Reilly. And Ryan O'Reilly doesn't have really anything to gain. Hired gun. He's already loved and beloved in the dressing room. But if we're talking like legacy, he's the only guy we can talk about. If legacy is on the line for anyone in terms of building something meaningful, not say he's Hall of Fame's probably, that's not a thing. Not a thing to do that. But if you win multiple Conn Smythe trophies, if you win multiple Stanley Cups,
you
Cups
do it
with two
with
different
this
teams.
Hometown kid too.
If you're the guy, like, you can start to build, and he already has, but you are adding another major, major building block on building like the reputation as one of the game's ultimate winners. And if you help bring a Stanley Cup to Toronto, well, you can write your ticket, right? So Ryan O'Reilly also on that list for me. Did I miss anyone? Individuals?
No, I think you nailed it.
11? Who's 11?
Us.
Luke Shen?
Oh, that would be really great for Luke Shen, yeah. What a journey from being drafted to going to spend half your career elsewhere, and well, more than half your career, and then come back home and win in the blue and white. I think that'd be really sweet. Well, we'll see if that we get to reflect on our wins tomorrow morning. Maple Leafs, 7 p.m., Leafs, Lightning, Game 5. Everything's in the palm of their hand. Here's the championship DNA versus an unwritten Maple Leafs storyline, and hopefully we get to continue with that tomorrow morning. We will take your calls either way at 7:30 tomorrow morning. We hope it's a good, feel-good Friday vibe. Let's pick our Wake and Rake parlay. Mine is going to be, oh, here's Wake and Rake. I was too excited. Mine is going to be Leafs money line. I'm going with the series ending tonight on home ice. We're going to see something we haven't seen in a very, very long time. We're going to be in attendance. The Maple Leafs in regulation or the Maple Leafs money line. I'm just going to go Maple Leafs money line. I'm not going to get too greedy. I'm on a nice little win streak with Blue Jays props. I went Blue Jays run line 3 days in a row, and that crushed. So I'm just going to go Leafs straight up money line. I got to pay a little juice for it, but this is it. It's a big, iconic evening. I'd like to be there to witness it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're celebrating an overtime victory, but you lose the bet, that's not going to feel very good. Not that it'll really matter. But yeah, money line sounds good to me. I'll add a little plus money to help balance things out. The guy who stands the benefit the most, who's going to be actually wearing a blue and white sweater tonight, I mentioned John Tavares.
Okay.
He averaged 5 shots per game on home ice. He's playing with 2 offensively minded players. He's going to have better matchups than he did in Tampa. He will add to his shot total tonight, not guaranteeing a goal, not guaranteeing a point. But after getting 4 and 6 shots on home ice, he surpasses 3.5. And the over 3.5 is at +120. So John Tavares gets a few pucks on net. Add that to the same game parlay for the Maple Leafs tonight.
Okay, let's rip through a couple of our submissions. We've got Giants, San Francisco Giants money line. That's Dan from Stainer.
Good morning, Justin and Ailish from Cambridge. DeJounte Murray back for game 6, and they play well at home, they being the Atlanta Hawks. So money line over the Celtics to force a game 7 career, Chris. Wow.
Okay, lengthy text here from our guy. It's going to go, Matthews over shots and O'Reilly over a point, and says happy baby Friday, go Leafs go. So that's their parlay. Long text. I'm just trying to shorten it up here.
Another one here from Prosciutto Poppy, always slicing it extra thin. He likes the Vegas Golden Knights in regulation. The Jets are defeated and depleted. Prosciutto Poppy likes the Golden Knights to finish things off.
All right, Ron and Jules have Atlanta Hawks +6.5, and Jules, a fresh off a Warriors win, will take Leafs on the spread with an empty net goal to clinch the series. Love that.
That would be a hell of an empty net goal. Okay, so we have Matthews and O'Reilly We have overshots Matthews, over points Ryan O'Reilly. Do you want to do the same game parlay just because it's game five?
Let's do a same game parlay.
Hexes and curses and everything is on the line here.
100%.
Okay, so we got Tavares overshots, Leafs to win on the money line.
And an O'Reilly point?
I think the safer play is the Matthews shots.
Can you parlay two shots props in a same game parlay? If you can, let's do that.
I can't see why you wouldn't be able to do that.
Can you tell me what the... Here, so let me just get the points, the shots here.
Matthews, shots.
Is it 4.5
Austin
for Matthews?
Matthews 4.5 minus 115. So Matthews five shots, Tavares four shots, and a Leaf victory. You can cash a parlay while celebrating the Maple Leafs heading to the second round.
And so all that, Leafs in regulation and Tavares and Matthews over shots, our same game parlay, Wake and Rake, is plus 608.
Love it. That's a good one. Hopefully it hits because I don't know. We've been struggling a little bit in terms of actually hitting all three. It's been a good month for me. You've bounced back here, but it's time to get all the ducks in a row. The NFL draft is also tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Are you betting the NFL draft?
I'm betting the only things that you told me to bet.
I don't think you should frame it that way.
Well, no, you did some research and I didn't, so give me credit.
I'm looking at some line movement now too, which kind of hurts me. Okay, I do have one pick.
Okay.
I've been listening to other people. I'm no draft expert, of course.
It's fine.
But just listening to people like try to plug these different players in place, and it felt like no one had any concrete information on where to put Will Anderson, Alabama, stud, maybe the most guaranteed NFL prospect there. However, it seems like everyone's chasing something else, like four quarterbacks, maybe in the first 5-6 picks. Bijan Robinson, maybe 8 to Atlanta. Like for some reason, this guy is just being overlooked a little bit. So I was looking at where he could slide to. And number 9 was like a ridiculous price to the Chicago Bears. And the Chicago Bears apparently like Will Anderson. So I put a couple shekels down on that. However, I'm seeing now the shortest odds to go second overall belong to Will Anderson. So that might not be a great bet. However, I did go plus 150-1, Will Anderson, to go to the Chicago Bears at 9. I thought it was a good pick.
Okay.
So that's the whole thing I'm hoping for. Okay. Now he's going to go second overall. But
I hope that
is
the case. Okay.
We're in it together.
We're in it together.
We're also in it and on Gary Woodland. Just $5 at the Mexico Open.
We like Gary Woodland this weekend. We didn't do our picks, but we're just team betting Gary Woodland. All right, folks, Maple Leafs, this is it. Big moment for them here in the city of Toronto, 7 p.m. on Sportsnet, CBC, Sportsnet Now, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Brent Gunning and Gord Stellick will have our pregame coverage beginning at 6:30 p.m. They'll also bring you Leafs Nation postgame immediately following the final buzzer. We hope that the vibes are extremely high in that show, and we'll bring it to you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. We'll have the calls open at 7:30. We hope we're celebrating something that we haven't seen in a very, very long time. Have a happy Baby Friday. We'll be back tomorrow morning.